Our second scripture reading and the Easter story that we read today comes to us from the Gospel of John. We're reading chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You'll find it on your screen. Let's see together, experience together the power of the risen Christ. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
And then Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing before her, but she didn't realize it was him. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, please tell me where you put him. I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you might speak. Even as you greeted Mary that day, may you speak our names, that we might also see who you are, that our belief, our faith might be strengthened even when we don't fully understand. Grant us this day wisdom and insight, strength of faith and courage, that we might follow you this and every day. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Recently watched a presentation by an astrophysicist explaining a fascinating detail about deep space images. You probably know this, maybe you've heard this. Light travels at about 186,000 miles per second. And at the distances the human eye can see, that doesn't mean anything. We see images as instantaneous, but as you stretch things out, there is a lag. For instance, if our sun right now blinked out or flashed, it would be 8 minutes and change before the darkness got to us. Well, this only expands as you increase the distance, which means that as we see things from further away, we're literally looking into the past. We're seeing things that have already happened, in some cases, millions and millions of years ago. But the image, the information, is just now arriving to us. We're experiencing a thing that has already happened. We're seeing evidence, but it's over with. It is new to us, but it's already done. And we try to make some sense of what we see, understand what it was, and then understand what it means.
This is the core principle we want to invite you to consider Easter as this morning. Because what happened that day, What happened that day when the disciples went and saw the truth of that moment, that the tomb was empty, that truth still, with all of its rays of light, are reaching us where we live today. The reality is when God raised Jesus Christ, he changed the universe. And the light of that change, friends, though it happened that day, it continues to reach us. It would be easy for us, I think, to think that Easter is a thing. One moment in time, flag planted, it's that moment and we look back at it as if it's history. As if maybe we could understand everything that it means. But when Easter happened, even those who were there, the story that we read, they didn't understand it. That they believed, but they didn't have it all put together. Ever since that first Easter, Christians have sought more and more to understand the truth of what actually happened that day. The truth of Easter, the event of Easter, it continues to emanate out into the world, and we're still seeing it again and again today. We are the people who look back at that day, who accept the claim that Jesus Christ lived again.
Now, that doesn't mean that we understand everything about Easter, and in that way, we are not so different from those disciples. In our passage, John and Peter run to the tomb, a foot race, and in a strange flex, John says that he won. But he didn't go in. Peter, who never hesitates, goes in first. And then John, whose heart got to Easter before his brain did, goes into the tomb. And we're told he believed, but he did not understand. Mary then stays behind. And somehow, even in the presence of angels, she can't see past her confusion. I don't know where he is. Even when he's standing before her, she doesn't yet see. And then in hearing her name, she begins to comprehend this thing we call Easter. And she becomes the first evangelist sent to the disciples with news of the resurrection, telling them, I have seen the Lord. And I want you to imagine just for a moment how that conversation might have gone. Mary standing there with wonder and confusion, amazed at what she has just experienced. And the disciples mansplaining death to her. I've seen the Lord. No, you didn't. He called me by name. It wasn't him. He's dead. It was him. I saw him. He's alive. How could that be possible, Mary? I don't know. But I'm telling you, I saw him. How is it possible? I have no idea. But I'm telling you, it happened. God doesn't wait for people to get Easter figured out before he invites them to it. To invites them to trust him. We forget that all of the Easter stories, all four Gospels' tellings of Easter are full of fear and confusion, doubt, because God's victory over death is so amazing, it is also so hard to believe. It defies our understanding.
When you come and hear the Easter story on a Sunday, we can't read all of the gospel accounts. We can't get that whole picture. And it would be easy in that, friends, to miss that the gospel writers all share different glimmers of the truth of this day. They have different perspectives. And though they share many things, you might be surprised what they share. Words like fear, doubt, terror, disbelief, weeping. The truth they want us to know is no one who encountered Easter that first moment, none of them understood it. We miss that sometimes. Faith isn't the same as understanding. Faith leads us to places that facts can't always confirm. And that's hard for us. Just look at all of the books and documentaries and speakers and tours and debates all about the facts and proving Easter. We have a real hunger to confirm, to prove, to defend it. We're surprised when we turn back to the scriptures and find how little the gospel writers care about giving us arguments, about filling out all of our understanding. No, they want to describe how those early Christians weren't compelled to defend Easter. They saw it. They believed it. And that moved them forward to greater understanding throughout the course of their faith and lives. And that still lives. The truth of Easter still lives in us today. The empty tomb then is enough today. Like John, those disciples believed, even if they didn't fully understand what they saw that day, that Jesus wasn't there. It would be quite some time before their understanding would grow of what it would mean, and ultimately where it would lead them.
Our story in Acts, Peter, on that morning of Easter, couldn't imagine that just a few years later, he would retell that story. He would tell again what happened on the morning that he went and saw the empty tomb, but he would do so defending Gentiles coming into the faith. On Easter morning, that could not have been imagined. He revisited again that morning, and it showed him something new. Easter led him again and again to a deeper understanding of God's grace, God's love, God's community. It wasn't just that it happened once, and now he had a message. It happened. And in his message, he continued to wrestle and to uncover what it meant. It's a striking idea that 2,000 some odd years ago, this thing we call Easter happened. This world-changing cosmic event happened. And that the truth of it, even in places like Spirit Lake, Iowa, is still getting to us. Still arriving to our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We are still witnessing it. We are still being changed and challenged by it. That, friends, is what Easter does. It invites us again to look at the resurrection, to see something that somehow we missed before, and to again and again and again become witnesses of it.
This is where the hope and promise of Easter becomes the task of the Christian life. Because, friends, if that light is still coming to us today, if it's arriving moment by moment, then our task is to grapple with not just what it meant, but what it means. Somehow that thing, that Easter morning, changes everything. And the mystery of that past thing becomes our present calling. It guides our future, changes our minds, moves our hearts. We have to revisit those things that we think we know, the who's in and out, the question that Peter grappled with, the worthy and the unworthy. Looking again and again at our old biases and beliefs and practices, we have to see them through the new light of Easter that reaches us today. We find strength, hope, forgiveness, love when we didn't even know it was there. Easter is the wellspring of our faith. And just imagine what that grace and transformation of Easter might mean if we continue to live out in that belief, even if we don't fully have its understanding. Imagine the future disciples of Jesus who will still be learning, years from today, the truth of that Easter as it reaches them.
I used to think that part of my job as a pastor, preacher, was to make sure that Easter wasn't missed. And I used to feel a lot of pressure by Easter. Churches are full. People are here, and we're glad you're here. I thought that if I could explain Easter just right, if I could prove it somehow, if I could argue the case of Easter correctly, people could be convinced. If only I could find some new word or some new insight, it would land on people. And if we just showed the right things, everyone would get it. And they would come to faith, and they would come back to church. And I think a lot of pastors enter the pulpit on their early Easters thinking somehow up to me. I don't think that anymore. Easter can get missed. It basically does by all the people who saw it first. And they had earthquakes and empty tombs and Jesus slash gardener running around in front of them. Easter isn't something to be proven. It isn't something to present evidence for. If we could do that, then every church would be standing room only every week. Easter is a witness. Easter is received by faith. A faith that sees the possibility of an empty tomb. It may not be sure exactly how or why or what, but it believes it to be true even without fully understanding it, and knows that somehow it means something life-changing, something world-changing. I've come to think Easter doesn't need a new spin. Doesn't need creative packaging. Easter is the core of our faith.
Don't make the mistake of leaving this morning to whatever the joy of your celebration will be and think that what you came to do was memorialize a thing that happened in the past. This isn't about a thing that happened and over. Resurrection is not just a declaration about the past. It's a proclamation about what is true. Then, certainly, and now, most definitely. Easter demands our present attention. Easter didn't just happen, it's still happening. The light and the power of it radiate out from that moment into the world, and we're still seeing the light and truth of it today. Easter, friends, is still changing lives, still turning doubters into believers, weepers into wonderers, and all of us into witnesses. Easter didn't just change everything. Easter changes. Easter is changing everything.
The truth of Easter is that Jesus rising is only the beginning of it. We may not fully understand it. I would argue we don't need to. We believe it. If you come to Easter and it confuses you, don't feel alone. The first people who saw Easter didn't really know what it meant. But in it, they discovered a truth that would continue to our day and for all days to come. And like a light from far away, we still see it, still teaching us new things, new lessons, showing us new things. The first recipients of Easter believed not because they understood or because it made sense, but because they encountered the possibility and power of a risen Savior. And that changed everything. Even things they didn't know had changed. Today, millennia later, the power of Easter continues to arrive, offered new to us every day. And as it always has, the question it brings with it, will Easter, that has changed so much, change us as well? Happy Easter and amen.